From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Golhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. During last week's second and final presidential debate, Democratic nominee Joe Biden touted his climate action plan in response to a question from the moderator. He described how global warming is an existential threat to humanity and that his climate plan would, quote, create 18.6 million jobs. President Donald Trump denounced Biden's ideas, saying they were drafted by Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and that they center on, quote, buildings with tiny windows. Then Trump went after Biden's position on fracking or hydraulic fracturing, a fossil fuel industry that Biden and President Obama championed during Obama's tenure. This is what unfolded at the debate.
And what about fracking?
All right, let me allow Vice President Biden to respond.
I never said I oppose fracking.
You said it on tape.
I did. Show the tape. Put it on your website.
I'll put it on.
Put it on the website. The fact of the matter is he's flat lying.
Would you rule out banning fracking?
I do rule out banning fracking because the answer, we need other industries to transition to get to ultimately a complete zero emissions by 2025. What I will do with fracking over time is make sure that we can capture the emissions from the fracking, capture the emissions from gas. We can do that, and we can do that by investing money in doing it. But it's a transition to that.
I have one more question
excuse
in
me,
this pod, and
excuse
then we
me,
have...
He was against fracking. He said it. I will show that to you tomorrow. I am against fracking. Until he got the nomination, went to Pennsylvania, then he said, but you know what, Pennsylvania? He'll be against it very soon because his party is totally against
fracking
it.
On federal land, I said. No fracking and or oil on federal land.
And that is former Vice President Joe Biden. Before him, of course, Trump, the two of them debating at the second and final presidential debate last week in Nashville, Tennessee. Biden has been a champion of fracking when he was vice president. His campaign and his running mate Kamala Harris have vehemently maintained that a future President Biden would not ban fracking, a position that may gain them a few votes in fracking-dependent states like Pennsylvania, but which climate justice groups firmly oppose. Can Biden back fracking and champion climate justice? Joining me to help answer that question is Jamie Henn, director of Fossil Free Media, a nonprofit media lab that supports the movement to end fossil fuels. He also leads communications for the Stop the Money Pipeline campaign, which is working to end the financing of climate destruction. Before starting Fossil Free Media, Jamie was the co-founder and strategic communications director for 350.org. Welcome to the program, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
Let's first talk about Biden's climate plan. It is an ambitious plan, which is exciting because for climate justice activists, it's rare to have a major party presidential candidate lay out such an ambitious sounding plan. He said it would create millions of jobs, and he called global warming an existential threat. And he said it all during a presidential debate, which before this year, climate change was never even raised during a presidential debate. So are you heartened by what his plan on his campaign website and as he explained stands for?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there's no doubt that the Biden plan is the most ambitious plan that any presidential candidate has put forward in a mainstream election. And that certainly includes, you know, Hillary Clinton in 2016. This is a far more ambitious agenda. And it's really thanks to the pressure of climate activists who worked hard over the last 2 years to push all of the candidates running in the Democratic primary, including Biden, including Harris, to really adopt a much more ambitious approach to tackling the climate crisis. So the work that Sunrise Movement and many others did to help craft the Biden policy is really showing up. And it's showing up not only in the policy specifics, but also the way that Biden is talking about the issue. It's something that is about creating jobs, about social justice, about restoring our economy. I think the gap, as you highlighted, is the vice president's position on fossil fuels and on fracking in particular. So that's something that activists are going to have to keep pushing, a new administration, if he's elected, to become much stronger on.
So when Trump said that Biden's plan was developed by AOC plus three, that is the squad, he said they know nothing about the climate. I mean, she's got a good line of stuff, but she knows nothing about the climate, and they're all hopping through hoops for AOC plus three. In a way, that it was accurate, right? I mean, he basically exposed the fact that Biden has been pushed to the left by the younger, more progressive crop of congresswomen like AOC?
I think it's about half the story. I mean, first of all, we should take obviously anything Trump says with a grain of salt. Here's a man who denies the reality of climate change and I think, you know, stared at the sun in the midst of a solar eclipse.
Yes.
But he does have a point. You know, I think that I'll give it to him that the climate movement and AOC, really AOC, I think as she tweeted, plus 158 of all the co-sponsors of the Green New Deal, really did have a role in helping shape this policy. And I think progressives who are looking for a little bit more of a reason to get out and help turn out the vote this November should take heart from that. This plan really incorporated some of the most important ideas that came out of the Green New Deal and out of those conversations. The other half of the story, of course, is that the Biden team also talked very closely with labor in particular. The co-chair of that climate council that they put together with the Sanders campaign was the head of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, a union that has not always supported climate action, but has been really focused on maintaining jobs for its union members. So the fact that labor has been fully on board, and again, labor that has a lot of jobs currently in the fossil fuel sector, should tell you something, that this isn't just a wish list for climate activists, environmentalists, but really a economic agenda to try and create millions of jobs in a new clean energy economy. And that's why I think Biden is in a particularly strong position to actually make good on the promise he started talking about in the debate last week about truly beginning to move our economy away from oil and gas and coal towards a clean energy economy. He's shown that he cares about workers, but right. He needs to follow through on those commitments.
We should certainly understand and underscore the fact that the fracking boom in the United States was overseen by President Obama. He has taken credit for it. He has boasted about how the U.S. has increased its oil and gas production in a way that was unprecedented, a historic boom in oil and gas production, primarily through fracking. And in fact, both Obama and Biden often referred to fracking produced fossil fuels as transition fuel. He repeated that, using that word transition in the debate. And does it for you highlight the fact that there is this disconnect, this double standard that Biden is going to have to navigate and that climate justice activists are going to have to be clear-eyed about when dealing with a future Biden administration?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, the Obama administration's embrace of fracking was one of the greatest failures of his environmental and climate agenda, and one of the great disappointments, I think, of his presidency. That administration, and I think some of the people continuing to advise Vice President Biden, accepted a faulty, untrue argument that natural gas was some sort of bridge fuel to a clean energy economy. In fact, it's been the reverse. Although natural gas has lower carbon dioxide emissions than coal, the methane emissions that emit from natural gas make it even worse for the climate than coal-fired power. And so we're seeing that impact play out all across the country. Not only are the impacts bad for the climate, but of course, fracking has a terrible impact on local water, local air quality, and all the communities that depend on that. So I think that Biden needs to get up to speed on the latest science and the facts on the ground around fracking and really understand that it continues to fuel the climate crisis and that even since the Obama administration, we've made tremendous advances in clean energy so that we no longer need to be dependent on natural gas for our energy, but also for our economy and employment, that all the jobs numbers point to the idea and the reality that by fully embracing a clean energy economy, we will do much better for all of those workers on the ground than continuing this idea that somehow the fossil fuel industry is going to take care of American families.
Now, Biden did say earlier this year that he opposed new fracking. His written plan on the climate says that he opposes fracking new oil and gas permitting on public lands and waters, not ending all new fracking everywhere or anywhere. So it sounds like he's sort of leaving it to the states. Kamala Harris has come out, you know, in support of Biden, which of course she has to. She's his running mate. She said Biden has never opposed, has will not ban fracking, is what she said. And AOC did respond to some of these statements saying, no, fracking is bad. Let's be clear on that. Why is Biden so vehement about supporting fracking? Is it part of ensuring that the Obama legacy gets protected? Is it about protecting some votes? Even the American petroleum industry has said Biden will not ban fracking, and they're quite excited about that. If Biden really wants to be a climate champion, why is he not saying, all right, maybe we were wrong to champion fracking and we should ban it?
Well, I think it's a great, question. You know, I think the rationale is that the Biden campaign has made a strategic choice to try and really make sure that they peel off some of the predominantly white, predominantly working class voters who voted for Obama in 2008, but then voted for Trump in 2012, and then voted for Trump in 2016. And so they've adopted that strategy. And if
so, this is about votes, basically.
I think that's right. If you follow that line of logic, then you could make the argument that in order to win a state like Pennsylvania, Biden should really focus on winning over that small, small slice of voters in a few key districts who may be more convinced to vote for Biden because he says he supports the fracking industry. Now, I would argue, and I think many people have done so effectively, that that isn't the strategy the Biden campaign needs to follow through with, that most of those voters would support Biden for a whole host of other reasons. He supports unions, he supports the working class. The Biden campaign made a choice that they wanted to turn out those votes. They could pursue a very different agenda, which would be about turning out young people, turning out people in the suburbs, really mobilizing people who've been negatively impacted by the fracking industry. And so I think there's that case to be made, that they've sort of accepted a faulty logic about how they need to win this election. And we hope that going forward, they'll really look at the facts and make sure that they move in a different direction when it comes to fracking and the importance of moving to a clean energy economy.
You listed all of the other reasons why some of these white rural voters could support Biden, even if he opposed fracking. What about green energy jobs? We know now that the American electorate has changed its position on climate change because they see the evidence all around them, right? They see hurricanes that are stronger. They see wildfires that are there is no fire season anymore on the West Coast. It's you know, feels like it's all year round. They see all of that evidence around them. They are directly impacted by it. Wouldn't a green energy jobs position win over people who felt that they were tied to the fracking industry because of their precarious economic position?
That's exactly right. And the polling backs that up. I mean, if you look at let's look at Pennsylvania in particular, less than 1% of jobs in Pennsylvania are directly in the fracking industry.
Wow. So less than 1%?
It's something, you know, around 27,000 people are employed out of 6 million people that work in Pennsylvania. Now, there are other jobs that are connected with natural gas, so I don't mean to discount that it plays a role in the economy. But if you listen to the mainstream media, you know, even the New York Times covering this, you get the sense that fracking is the entire economy of the state when really it's a decreasing portion every year. And so you're exactly right. Not only is the future in clean energy for the economy at large, but even for those energy jobs, there is incredible potential to really engage those workers over the next two decades in phasing out that gas industry in a responsible way, patching all the leaking pipelines, dealing with all the aging infrastructure. There's plenty of work to be done just decommissioning the damage that has already been done and having those workers help lead us into a clean energy economy. And again, the polling backs that up. A majority of Pennsylvanians want to ban fracking. This is not the politically contentious issue that sometimes the media makes it out to be. And even higher majorities of people want to see the federal government invest in clean energy and invest in a transition away from fossil fuels. And by a 2-to-1 margin, voters believe that that transition will create millions of jobs instead of hurting the economy. So what we've been arguing is that the Biden campaign for the remainder of the election, but then hopefully a Biden presidency after the campaign, can really make a strong argument to the American people that we need to move in a different direction and that that will be good for the economy, good for working families, and good for workers in the fossil fuel industry itself, that this is a way to take care of them in a way that the industry itself cannot. I mean, the oil and gas companies are hemorrhaging hundreds of thousands of jobs. This was happening before the coronavirus hit. These are poorly managed companies that have never prioritized their workers. And so a Biden administration could really say to these people effectively and honestly, it's time to go in a different direction. We're going to invest in you to help you lead us to this new clean energy future. And I think that the polling says that that would be a very effective message.
And
so it's a shame it hasn't come up in the campaign, but we hope that post-election, that's something the new administration could really follow through with.
Biden is running against Trump, who says, when asked about climate change, that he's doing everything he can to ensure Americans have clean air and water. I don't know if this is because Trump can't wrap his head around something like climate change because it involves, you know, science, and that maybe clean air and clean water is something he can visualize. But he has repeatedly said this when asked about climate change. He's also made claims that I imagine are likely proven false, saying that under him we've had the cleanest air and the cleanest water. And then he's contrasted during the debate. He said, look at China, how filthy it is, how at Russia and India, how filthy the air is, and then said that he took the U.S. out of the Paris Accord because it would have involved sacrificing tens of millions of jobs. So, you know, lie after lie packed in every sentence. So that's, I suppose we should remind ourselves that that's what Biden is contrasting himself with.
Yeah, no, that's right. I mean, we could do a whole show just unpacking all of the different lies Trump has told about the environment. It's,
I mean, the climate justice movement could come up with, could have ended up with a much worse plan than Biden's.
That's very true. And I think we need to take that in hand. And again, that should be motivation for everybody who cares about this issue to get out and turn out the vote over the coming week. And we need to recognize, and I think everybody's fully prepared to push Biden on day one of a new administration, if he gets elected, to really make him follow through and do all the things that even he says he won't do, right? I mean, we've had presidents before who have been elected and say, I won't do X, Y, or Z, or I won't listen to the radical left. And lo and behold, movements have been able to push them forward. And so I take incredible heart as someone who lived through, you know, the first Obama administration, that we're actually better prepared than we were in 2008, that nobody is going to sit back and assume that Biden is going to be able to solve the climate crisis on his own, or that we won't have to push him. I think that 350 and Sunrise and many others will be there on day one saying, we're actually going to celebrate all the things that you committed to and help you pass them, but we're also going to hold your feet to the fire and make sure that you're actually accountable to the communities who are being impacted by the fossil fuel industry, and that you're willing to take them on in a way that you weren't able to talk about during the campaign.
One of the things that Biden said at the debate is that we have to move toward a net zero emissions. The first place to do that by the year 2035 is in energy production, by 2050 totally. You know, this is, he also talked about the year 2025 with net zero emission. I don't know if that was just an error, but 2025 is 5 years from now. Is he being overly ambitious? I mean, we climate justice activists know that it can be done, but in order to do it, you have to take radical action. Biden is not a radical by any stretch of the imagination.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that, you know, in some ways, because of the great crisis that we're facing, no plan can be too radical. I mean, we should have moved to clean energy a decade ago. So the faster the timeline, the more likely that we'll be able to prevent catastrophe. The hopeful piece is that the clean energy economy is moving faster than anybody ever could have predicted. I mean, just look 10 years ago, the price of solar panels has dropped something like 90%. Electric cars are continuing to make a surge. The American public cares more deeply about climate change than ever before. So we've made real progress despite a lack of leadership from the federal government. If you could combine that economic energy that's underway with concerted, focused federal action, this might move much faster than any of us could actually predict. I think the key, there's a couple keys. One is really for Biden to make sure that he delivers on the environmental justice promises that he's made. This transition truly needs to benefit communities of color, working class families, and the American people writ large. This can't be some pie in the sky plan that people can't wrap their heads around. We have to make sure that the benefits get to everyday people on the ground. If we can do that and create that cycle where people begin to see how this transition is benefiting their family because their electric bills are going down, they have better public transit, the air is cleaner, they have cleaner water, All of that will create the type of political momentum that I think we need to keep moving faster and faster and faster as the technology advances.
Jamie, you are director of Fossil Free Media. This is a new venture. I've known you through your work with 350.org. Tell me about Fossil Free Media. I imagine that you are motivated by the fact that far too much of even what's considered the liberal media is beholden to corporate interests that are tied to fossil fuels and the fossil fuel industry.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the goal of the project that we've launched with Fossil Free Media is to really try and advance the debate around phasing out fossil fuels, because we recognize that as much as we've made real progress in the potential of talking about a clean energy economy, we still have a lot of work to do to confront the overwhelming power of the fossil fuel industry. I think one of the greatest risks that we're going to face over the next 4 years under a Biden administration, hopefully, is that the fossil fuel industry manages to convince the politicians and the press and the public that they have a role to play, that we should be giving them handouts, that we should be helping them do carbon capture and sequestration and other false solutions that they've come up with. And so we need to be really clear. This industry has blocked climate action for decades. They've consistently lied to the American people. And that if we're going to meet the climate targets that we need to hit and deliver on the environmental justice promises that this campaign has made, they need to go hard against this industry and hold them accountable. So Fossil Free Media works with groups all across the United States who are fighting fossil fuel projects on the ground to help them tell their stories and to help try and campaign against this industry to make people aware that the only true climate solutions are ones that move us rapidly away from fossil fuels.
And those who set the debate and the discourse around climate change in the United States for far too long have been deeply moneyed interests, right? I mean, there's been whole books and organizations and websites devoted to disentangling the disinformation stream that's sponsored by the fossil fuel industry through innocuous sounding think tanks and, you know, pleasant sounding, non-threatening sounding organizations, nonpartisan groups, so-called, that churn out slick propaganda, churn out press releases, and send them to harried journalists who might be desperate for a source, who claim to be climate experts, but may or may not have any scientific training. So you're up against a hugely well-funded industry, you know, that has a lot at stake, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah, no, we pick no easy battles. But I think, you know, the clip that you showed at the top of this segment and the reaction that happened in much of the mainstream press exactly illustrates this point. You know, there's no doubt when you talk to economists or scientists or really any commentators that the future of this economy is in clean energy, that the lack of a plan to deal with climate change will cost millions of jobs and, you know, completely destroy our economy here in this country. And yet the follow-up to that segment in the Washington Post and in the New York Times was, will Biden's stumble on energy cost him votes? Will this hurt employment by going after fossil fuels? When really the complete opposite is true. It's Trump's plan or Trump's lack of a plan that's going to cost the American people jobs and hurt the economy. The fossil fuel industry is hemorrhaging jobs. They're, you know, smaller than they've ever been. The opportunities are very much in renewables. That's where job creation is happening. And yet there's still this narrative in much of the media and in the public that the fossil fuel industry is still the lifeblood of our economy. And so I think our job as people who care about this over the coming years is to try and flip that on its head, to really show that the opportunities in the future are in clean energy, and that the fossil fuel industry, as you said, is trying to cling to power by continuing to not only pollute our atmosphere, but also pollute our public discourse.
And of course, you know, we know that the cost of doing nothing, because mainstream media love to talk about the cost benefit of everything. How much will this cost us? Because that's what the corporate sector wants us to think of everything in terms of, and the cost of doing nothing is astronomical. That's one of the things that candidate Bernie Sanders had brought to the discussion when he was running for president. Unfortunately, it doesn't come up very often anymore. But as you've said before, I imagine the climate justice movement will hold Biden's feet to the fire. Jamie, thanks so much. Give out a website for Fossil Free Media.
Yeah, so it's fossilfree.media. And if folks are interested in helping that campaign to really make sure that we actually get these financial institutions to support the clean energy economy, that's at stopthemoneypipeline.org.
So fossilfree.media and stopthemoneypipeline.org. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Thank you, Sonali.
Jamie Henn is the director of Fossil Free Media, a nonprofit media lab that supports the movement to end fossil fuels. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.